let me tell you what iniquity is so you'll see. Because I always thought iniquity and sin were the same. So I just kind of read them and switched the name around. But we're going to look at scriptures to let you know that you know. Iniquity is wickedness. It's actually the word for wickedness. And it's the wickedness that David was born into. You were born wicked. Woohoo! Everybody's so happy. And you spend your whole life trying to either prove you're not wicked or to just go with being wicked because you figure what's the use. That's the tree of good or the tree of evil. And you are born into wickedness. And basically everything in the natural is like something in the spirit. So in the natural, you get genetic traits from your parents. I mean, people will say, oh, they look just like you. Oh, he laughs like you. Oh, he sounds like you. All these things is put into that baby that's for real. And it's just a law of God. It's just a natural law that God has that there's going to be some of the mother's traits in the egg and some of the father's traits in the sperm. And when they come together, that child is going to have a variation of those traits. Okay? Well, in the spirit, what happens is just like that's passed on in the natural in your bloodline, in the spirit, your forefathers' sins that are not repented of and brought to the cross, their wickedness is passed right on into your spirit man when you're born. Okay? And what it is wickedness. That's why everyone needs a Savior. Even if it's somebody who decides to eat the tree of good and they don't give in to their wickedness, it's still wickedness. Sin is when you give in to the wickedness. Okay, so what happens? Let's say that in that spirit of wickedness, in that inheritance, you had someone in your family line who was a thief. Okay? They truly stole things. You're going to have a tendency towards stealing. Now, it won't become sin for you until you take that candy bar and put it in your pocket and walk out the store. At that point, you have come in agreement with the wickedness or the iniquity that's in your heart. Do you see what I'm saying? So, depending on your inheritance, because you can have a godly inheritance also. Timothy was like his grandmother and his mother. There's blessings that flow to those who know the Lord. And then there's curses that flow to those who disobey the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's why some people do such horrible things. And you think, how could they ever do that? But you don't know that wicked, that iniquity that's in their family line. It's why some of you repent of the sin. And then you have to repent of the sin again. And you have to repent of the sin again. It's why some of you get the inner healing and even the deliverance that you needed because of what Satan set up. But there's still that thought life. There's still that push to become like your ancestors or to become like your father or your mother in the areas where there was wickedness. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, we're going to look at the Word and see what God says we can do about this. Because I believe when the Word of God says we're a new creation in Christ, that would take care of any iniquity. And there's a lot of scriptures we're going to look at that says Christ took our iniquities as well as our sin. And like I said, I've up to this point always kind of made them seem like the same thing. Or I thought iniquity was more like attitude sin. But as I started to study this and someone mentioned it at this conference I was at, they see it as a DNA, so to speak, that comes down the spirit line. And it draws you constantly to that sin. And you can follow that in David's line. You know, David fell into sin, into sexual sin. Was that the first time that spirit of wickedness was there? I don't know. But at that point, that became part of what he was going to pass on to his children. And then you see rapes in his family. You see unclean relationships. You just start to see where this thing really has a life of its own. People call it... you know, it's part of a generational curse. You know, it's certainly part of what we call a generational curse. It's also, even medically, they can see spirits of infirmity that repeat themselves in family lines. And so, but what to me, when God was showing me this about iniquity that we haven't dealt with, it's actually repenting. What they were saying was kind of neat. It's, they were saying at this conference, It's kind of like because that sin was going, and it's never been repented of, it's never been renounced, it has to go to the next generation. In other words, there's no stopping that thing until someone brings the blood of Christ to it. Okay? So I used to think, well, it doesn't seem right that I have to repent for something people I don't even know did. But what I have to do, I'm not saying I even have to repent. I need to say, Father, forgive them. And we already know that's settled between them and God. But Father, I want that cleansed out of my family line. I want to be a new creation in Christ. You promised me that. Now you are my father, mother, and everything else. You are my family line. And so I no longer want this iniquity that's in my heart, that's in my spirit man, to torment me, to decide what I'm going to be facing and going through. I want this stopped. And so that's what we want to look at tonight, because you got to get the real light bulb that Jesus paid for this. And it's something we haven't seen before. Some of you may have. I've never seen it to this degree. If you look in the Strong's, there are hundreds of scriptures about iniquity. Hundreds. And so we're going to look at a few of those. It talks about iniquity brings sickness. It talks about iniquity brings mental illness. It talks about iniquity brings emotional problems. It talks about iniquity over and over. It's generational. It's talked about it being generational. And so, see, what we got to realize is just because something doesn't seem to be fair to us or make sense to us or it's not the way we think it should be, does not change that when God spoke everything into being, it was set in an order that will not stop unless there is a higher law that cuts off the lower law. In other words, there are federal laws that override state laws. There are state laws that override city laws. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, the law of freedom in Christ and the law of the power of the blood is the highest law, and it cuts off these other spiritual laws that were set in motion in creation. For some of you, it's like, gosh, I get free from something and it seems like it keeps pulling me back. I get free from something and it pulls me back. Well, guess what? It does. And I just really, but let me say, one of God's law is it's God will give nothing to a double-minded man. So if you are convinced that you will never change, if you're convinced your thinking will never change, if you're convinced that you will always have this iniquity, you'll always struggle with this, guess what? You will. But if you can get free tonight to realize Christ is bigger than this thing, if you can just realize that Christ is bigger than your iniquities, and also it should help you get free from thinking, I'm worse than everybody else. You don't get to pick who your parents are. You don't get to pick who their parents were. You have nothing to do with this. And that's why you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. It all became just when Jesus Christ paid to make us all new creations in Christ. And so I'm believing some of you will get the light bulb. And there will be areas in your life where you're still giving into the sin of the iniquity. And if you're feeding the sin, it's not going anywhere. And so you're going to have to repent of the sin. What does that mean? Hate it. Turn from it. Walk away from it. Okay? And once you do that, though, and you don't have to do that for long. God knows you need his grace to even be able to get free there. But once you do that, then go after the iniquity. Don't wait till it brings you back in and causes you to feel condemned. All right?